Welcome to Life Community Church. We are a lively, growing church in the heart of Royal Leamington Spa. We trust that this message will encourage you and help you to live a life full of purpose as God intended.
Well, good morning. Should we stand to our feet? I don't like that phrase. Sorry, Leanne. Are we sitting comfortable? You're not here to be sitting comfortable. None of us are. We're here to give God glory and to be hearing the word of God and what God wants to say to us by his spirit today. So just why don't you just raise your hands to heaven. I'm conscious that whenever we gather, that we come with a number of different things going on in our lives. Just close your eyes. You might be coming with distractions, coming with a difficult week, difficult morning, or you might be things going well. Whatever it is, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that, Lord, you would help us, your people, to be able to understand what it is you want to say through your word this morning. In the name of Jesus, we command all distracting spirits to be ceased and bound in the name of Jesus right now. And the peace of God will ascend and descend on every heart and mind in Christ Jesus right now. And help us, I pray, that, Lord, as a result of this morning, there'll be a fresh revelation on your people. On your people. Not on individuals, on your people this morning. That we would know who we are in Christ Jesus. And we would know who we are and who we're called to be. And we've all got loads of them. None of us need another sermon. So we need to know how to act through our doctrine, chapter 6. And so today we're looking at chapter 3, which is the last of our... And in the last couple of weeks, we've... It will come on our screen. Thank you, Jad. Okay, in part one, we learned from Pastor Leanne that this is us. We are chosen, adopted, united, and sealed. Let's say that together. One, two, three. We are chosen, adopted, united, and sealed. That's every single one of us as individuals. We're chosen. We're chosen by God. We're adopted into the family. And we're sealed by his Holy Spirit. Then last week, Ian brilliantly of the seesaw. There comes a point when if you're walking on a seesaw, that the balance tip now we move on to chapter 3 today. Mysteries. Who likes a good mystery? Well, it depends on what the mystery is, doesn't it? I like a good mystery on the film to watch or something. But there was a mystery in our household recently, and food started going missing. But it wasn't just any food. It was the goodies. It was the treats. It was bags of crisps. It was, I don't know, chocolate bars, you name it. I thought, have we got rats? Have we got a thief in the night? What's going on here? And, you know, mysteries are this unknown phenomenon. They are what's going on here, okay? Well, eventually we found out. We didn't, it wasn't revealed, but we had to discover the answer to the mystery. And the answer to the mystery, it was all of the kids raiding the cupboards at different times, and particularly the Cornish ice cream, because of hot weather. It was going down in, you know, you bought a tub, and literally within a few days, where's the Cornish ice cream? Mystery. But today we're not talking about a mystery that is a mystery that has been revealed by God. A mystery that has been revealed by God. And I wonder if we can show the next slide. Thank you. So this is it. The church, a mystery revealed and a people released. I wonder if we can say this together. One, two, three. The church, a mystery revealed and a people released. So a bit of bad news. The church is can have a bit of a bad reputation. Not any particular church, but the church have a bad reputation. In the name of Christ, many sins have been committed. We don't need to own that. Things have been done in the name of Christ for centuries, you know, whether it's the Crusades, whether it's just abuse in the church, whatever it is, and it needs to be called out. And as the Church of Jesus Christ, we repent of that. And so the church can be given a bad name. But also you might have heard other language in recent years. Have you ever heard the language de-churched? Who's heard the language de-churched? Give me a wave. De-churched. De-churched is where people think, well, often it's because of hurt. There's a thing called church hurt, where because you're a part of a church and look around us, who's perfect? We might be perfect in Christ, but our behavior isn't always perfect, is it? My behavior isn't always perfect. And people can get hurt. And so people can get disillusioned with the church. And they think, okay, I'm going to do my Christian life as a private affair. I'll worship in my bedroom. I'll do my life. I still love God, but they are, in a sense, de-churched. So where does that leave us? Where does that leave us? And what we're going to see in chapter 4 is the pinnacle of Paul's teaching. He's spoken about what... And now we're going to see who we are collectively, Church of Jesus Christ. The church is not God's plan B. It is and always will be plan A. Is God happy with some of the things that are done in his name? Absolutely not. But he still believes in you and I, and he still believes in the church as the plan, the people of God, to bring the mystery of God to those. So come with me in Ephesians chapter 3. Paul writes about a plan revealed. A plan revealed. For this reason, I love the writings of Paul. Paul starts off by something, train of thought, and then he just digresses for many, many verses, and eventually comes back to it. So he says in verse 1, for this reason, and then digresses for about 12 verses, and then 14, he talks again, for this reason, and then prays. You go to pray, oh God, and a distraction comes. Well, I don't think he's emphasizing what's happening. He says, for this reason, and what reason? We go to chapter 2, and we go to, and Paul is talking about what he's done to us. And Paul is talking about the building that he's created. You know, the when we talk about the house of God, that is Old Testament theology. The house of God is not a bricks and mortar place. It is now. We are the building. We are a spiritual building which is being inhabited, not individually. We're all filled with the Holy Spirit, but we are filled by the Holy Spirit as we gather together. Gather together. And he's saying, for this reason, he then goes and say, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ, for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, writing to the Ephesians, which eventually became a circular letter, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive it made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow members of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Absolutely. So just in case you don't know, we've got Jews, we've got Gentiles. Gentiles are non-Jews. So give me a wave if you're Jewish this morning. No one. So give me a wave if you're Gentile. I'm sort of a three-quarter Gentile, a quarter Jewish, so I'm a bit of a mixed bag myself. So it talks about three things. This is a mystery. It's a mystery that's been revealed to Paul, and he's now got a calling to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Amazing. And he talks about the Gentiles. That's you and I. So had Christ not died, had Christ not risen from the dead, you and I would not be here this morning. Is it true? We wouldn't be here today. I don't know what we'd be doing. Maybe have a lying in bed, go for a walk, sunny day. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here. But because Christ died and rose again, it gave you and I an invitation. Three things Paul writes. He says that we are co-heirs with the Jews. We are co-heirs with the Jewish believers of the things of God. It's not like they have more of a share and we have a lesser share. No, we're equal shares, equal partnership, conjoined. We're part of the one body, the body of Christ, with Jesus as the head. It's not me, the pastor, it's Jesus Christ is the head of his body. We're conjoined. Wow, imagine that. Look around. Look around the room this morning. Look at the differences. And we celebrate diversity. We celebrate our differences. It would be boring if we all looked the same. If we all had white skin and ginger hair. Nah. All different, but all conjoined. From the different backgrounds, experience, some good, some bad, whatever it is, you've come together as the body of Christ. Wow. But you're not just we're not just a club. We're not just a society that we gather once a week and that's it. We're part of the body of Christ. It's a living organism. It's thriving. It's powerful. It's alive. Blood's going through our veins. The Holy Spirit is moving in your life. It's the body of Christ. You are part of the body of Christ. You're not a lesser part. You're an equal part of the body of Christ. If you know Jesus, amen? But part of the body of Christ. And we are co-sharers of God's promises. So it's not just for Jews were a special nation of God. They were part of the plan. The plan was once disclosed and now it is revealed that you and I, as Gentiles, would come to know Christ and do life together. And we'll be co-sharers of the promises of God. Shout out to me. What are some promises of God? Healing. Power. Anyone else? This side of the room? Wholeness. Righteousness, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy. So much. The gospel isn't about individuals, it's about a body. It's about a body with Christ Jesus as the head. Imagine a body where you've got a head and a finger. Weird. Or a head and a big toe. Okay, or maybe a head and a neck. They're weird, wouldn't it? But that's what some people... If I've got Jesus, I'm okay, Jack. No, we need the arms, the feet, the fingers, the fingernails, the big toe. We need everything. And no part is less. Have you noticed in your body... That you've never noticed a part of your body until something goes wrong. You ever noticed that? Until something goes wrong, or you feel a bit of discomfort or pain in the part, you never knew, oh, I didn't realize that was part of me, or, you know. Because we're meant to be joined together, part together, the body of Christ. And it's a bit like a and suddenly God's revealing as the chief architect. Hundreds of years to build. Maybe the workers, as they're putting the stones together and the bricks together, can't fully see the big picture, but they're doing their bit at the time. Yet there's an architect behind the scenes saying, this is what the cathedral is going to look like. And God knows what the church of Jesus Christ, not just Life Community Church, what the church is going to look like. Flawed people saved by the grace of God through faith. Amen? So we need to stop seeing ourselves as an individual Christian and start living our lives as we're part of the body of Christ. What does that look like for you? What does it look like? We gather on a Sunday, but we don't really know. Invite someone for coffee. Don't think, oh, no one reached out to me. Reach out to someone else. He who wants friends must himself first be friendly, says Proverbs. So let's reach out to people. Let's just build. And I'm loving what some people are doing on a Sunday. It's brilliant. Some people are coming here on a Sunday, and they're saying to God, God, use me. And they're after service, they're hanging around. And I commend so many of us today that you're starting to continue to hang around more. It's not just I come and I go, but you're hanging around. And that's when body ministry can happen. Body ministry can happen during a service. If someone have a word of knowledge or wisdom or spiritual gift, you can come during the service and come to the service. You can come off during teas and coffees. But let's be edifying. Bring one another up. That is corporate. Someone asked me once, what is corporate? Well, corporate is just from the Latin cor, which means body. So it's corporate means part of the body of Christ. See yourself conjoined, where they're sadly joined together, part of one body. But it's like two people in one. Conjoined with one head, which is Christ. Maybe you've got to stop seeing yourself as individual. Do you know you need each other? We need each other. I want you to interview, not beside you because you probably came with them. I need you. And then turn to someone else in a threatening behavior. We need. And let's be the kind of church that, you know you have difficult times. We can take off the mask. We can be vulnerable and just say, look, can you pray for me? Maybe you want to go into details. Maybe you don't want to. That's fine. I'm not feeling it today. I'm just not in the right. Would you just pray for me? And that's the part of the body of Christ. The body of Christ. And secondly, we're a people chosen. In verse 7, Paul continues, of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which is given me by the working of his power. To me, though, I'm the very least of all the saints. This grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone who is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. Here's Paul talking about himself. He's saying, I'm the least of all the saints. Now, I'm sure we all know people who are, what's the term? Self-deprecating. You just sort of put ourselves down. And Paul is doing both. He's acknowledging who he is and what he's done, but he's not staying there. He's reminding his readers of who he is only in Christ Jesus. And let's not forget what Paul has done. Paul is a Jew of Jews. He is a Pharisee of Pharisees. He went around the churches, the houses of the early church, dragging them out of their houses and imprisoning them. Even though he didn't do it personally, he voted for men and women to be put to death. That were followers of the way. That was Paul. He was passionate. He was absolutely passionate. Do you know we can be passionate about the wrong things? Paul was passionate about the wrong things. His heart was in the right place. He loved God in terms of the Old Testament. But this Jesus, he thought it was a cult. And he was going to be the chief person of him. Even though I might think, we know the theology. We know that when we come to Christ, we're forgiven. There's always a consequence to our sin. I don't know what the flesh was that Paul wrote about. Maybe it was a reminder of this. We don't know. But to the followers of the way, the early Christians, he wasn't nice. And often their death would have been by a high ledger, pushed off sometimes, and if that thing killed them, their chest. Not nice. But he was following God. Surely. Yet, God has chosen him. God has chosen him. Think of the New Testament letters that you and I enjoy reading, including Ephesians. God has chosen him who did such bad things against people like you and I, and yet God chose him. God chose him. And when Paul writes, I'm a prisoner for you, he's saying, I'm doing this for you. It's for my joy that I'm in chains. It's for my joy that I'm doing this for you. God's chosen me to do this for you. Think about Peter. I'll never disown you. His time on earth, spends time with the other disciples who ran away, rebuilding them, restoring them, and commissioning them. And then Peter, who was fearful, spoke and 3,000 baptized on that first coming of the day of the Holy Spirit. God can use Peter's, Paul's, who do the vilest of things. And I don't care what you have done in your life. To you, it might be the worst of things. You might call yourself the chief of sinners. It does not matter. Because God, for every single one of us, because we're part of restore you, commission you, and send you out. Think about other people in the Bible. Think about Moses, couldn't speak very well. Yeah, he wasn't going to, nothing was going to hold him back from letting the people of God go. Think about Rahab, the prostitute. God can use anyone. Anyone. So what's holding you back today? Is there anything you're thinking that says, I've got a past? Well, join the club. We've all got a past. And we can have a nice big... We've all got a past, but Satan would want to keep you in your past, locked in your shame, locked in your guilt. But God says, no, you are redeemed. You are set free by the blood of Jesus on the cross. On the cross. Think about the cross. It's got a vertical, meaning you have access to God the Father. But it has horizontal, meaning you have a plan and a purpose given and commissioned by God. So who are you to say, who am I? You are a child of God. And your destiny is to rise up and to find out how God wants to use you as part of his church. Amen? Stop saying, I'm not gifted enough, I'm not good enough. Because God has made you good. And God has gifted you. Start to develop that gifting that God has given to you. God is looking for a willing people. A willing, willing people. People chosen, just like Paul. Interesting, Paul means small. He changed his name from Saul to Paul. And Paul means small, and he's almost writing a bit of a pun here. I'm the least, I'm the Paul, Paulist of the Pauls. I'm the smallest of the small. But he says, to me though, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the uncertain riches of Christ and to bring to light to everyone. Look, who is he talking to? He's been commissioned to the Gentiles and to tell everyone. Wow. Imagine if you were Paul and you were still locked in your shame and yet you were commissioned to reach the Gentiles and to speak to everyone the unsearchable riches of Christ. We've got to get over ourselves. It's time to move forward. Lord, I pray in this moment, Holy Spirit, that you would renew the minds of us, your people, that we would not stay small in our thinking, but that, Lord, you would empower us to live for you in the gifting and calling that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. And some of you need to stop saying, I'm going to go to the pastor to pray, ask him to pray for or her to pray for me. Your prayers are powerful. Your prayers are powerful. My prayers are no more powerful than yours. And God wants to hear your prayers because it's a weapon. It's a weapon. Amen? It's a weapon to unleash, unlock what God wants to do and to bind up the works of the enemy. Do I hear an amen this morning? And then we see, next point is a purpose displayed. Verses 10 to 13. So, verse 9, to bring the light, God who created all things. Verse 10, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose, that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access. Turn to your neighbor, say, you've got boldness, you've got access, with confidence in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for glory. That word manifold means multi-tapestry. Think about Joseph's coat of many colors. Think about the intricate detail of the. Think about a mosaic and the pieces come together to form a big tapestry. That is the church. That is the church. Background, experience, a culture, ethnicity, some past pain, some victories, all woven together to form part of the body of Christ. But this is what we've got to really take a, and perhaps renew our mind on. Through the church, that's through you and I, no matter how you think about yourself, it's not through those that we might think are the proper Christians. No, it's through you. If you're born again by the Spirit of God, we're talking to you this morning. Through you. The manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to other churches, to governments, to the rulers and authorities on earth. Where? In the heavenly places. So we're now talking not about heaven, we're talking about the invisible realm. We are seated in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. Well, I'm not in heaven yet, but I'm seated in Christ in the heavenly realm. Do those who rule sit or stand? Sit. Christ Jesus sits on a throne. We are seated with Christ in heavenly realms. So capture this in your thinking. When you don't feel good enough, and by yourself you're not, in Christ Jesus, you're sat. You're ruling and reigning. Amen? We're ruling and reigning. And what is this? Who are we doing it to? Who's the audience? Who's looking on at your life when you're by yourself, and our lives when we're together having a coffee or gathered for a worship service or small group meeting or whatever it might be? Who's looking on? Who is the audience? Talk to me. What's the Bible say? Can't hear you. Read it. But sometimes when we talk about angels and fallen angels, also known as demons, and there's a different ranks of principalities. So let me encourage us. We believe in God who's invisible. We also need to believe in God is more spiritual than what we give it credit for. Christianity. There's an invisible realm which is even more real than a physical, what we touch with our senses. And what Paul is writing is, this mystery was hidden even from the angelic realm. They aren't all-knowing. God's all-knowing. They're not. And they're learning that actually the body of Christ, how we conduct our lives, is this great mystery for which Christ Jesus died to bring back Jew and Gentile together. And how we live our life is like a display of God's goodness, God's grace, God's power, God's mercy, which they have no knowledge about. They don't understand grace, but we do. We do. And it's saying to the angelic realm, this is who we are. This is us. Do you know that in this place today, there are probably several angels and several demons? Stop deceiving yourself and myself. Demons are very real. Now, we have authority in Christ, and a believer in Christ cannot be demon-possessed. But oppression is a very real thing. Gets into the soul of a person, our carnality of a person. And sometimes when we're caught in a habitual sin or something or a state of mind we can't get out of, it's often an oppression of a demon. Something that have a legal right in our lives because of what we done in the past through generational sin and curses, or through what we've allowed through our own sin. That's a topic for another day. But the reality is the heavenly realm is so real. And you and I need to start living our lives as if it's more real than we've given it credit for before. Because as we live our lives in the sense that there are angels and demons, angels to help and demons that want to... we will live our lives differently. We'll live our lives with humility. We'll live our lives in the sense of God... help me to pray. The reality is, and we know this, we are tripartite beings, spirit, soul, and body. The body is our senses. It's what we touch. It's our five senses. Our spirit is our mind, our will, and emotions. And a carnal Christian, which Paul writes, which isn't good, do that. We can all operate our carnality, is where I choose to do what I want to do, will. I think what I want to think, mind. I feel, well, we can feel tired, but I'm going to operate and live my life based on how I feel, feelings. That's a carnal Christian. But a Christian that's walking by the Spirit of God says, Spirit of God, in this situation, I might feel a bit cross. How do you want me to act? Being angry is not a sin, but how do you want me to act? And the Spirit of God might say, I want you to pray right now. I want you to get angry in the Spirit right now. I want you to pray. That injustice you've just seen or happened to you, I want you to get angry right now. I want you to pray about it right now. So we're led by the Spirit of God, but not by how we feel, what we think to do. I'm a big thinker. And I've got to be careful my thinking doesn't get in the way of what the Spirit of God wants to do in and through my life. So if you're a thinker, be careful. If you're a feeler, be careful. Be led by God's Spirit. Amen? Hidden realm, physical, and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God isn't a place. The kingdom of God is here, Jesus says. It's advancing. The kingdom of God is that invisible realm. We're part of the kingdom of God right now. Amen? So let's not walk by sight, but by faith. But by faith. Let this understanding change the way we live, the way we think. People are watching you, but so are angelic beings watching you. And what the devil wants to do, he wants to get you hurt. He wants to get you disgruntled. He wants to get you offended. Which can happen to every single one of us. Have I ever been offended? Of course I have. Have I wanted to... Yes. But Jesus has empowered you and I as the church to live differently. So when, not if, when you get hurt, when you get offended, when you get wronged, mistreated, whether it's outside the church or even inside the church, misunderstandings can be rife. But when things happen, Jesus has taught us a way to live. Forgive! Forgive! Bless those who spitefully use you, who persecute you. What? I want to rip their head off. Bless them. And that, when we live differently, when we choose to live differently, not by our own emotions because we want to do the opposite, but by the Spirit of God. Spirit of God, how do you want me to live right now? It's difficult right now. How do you want me to live? Bless. Love. Then, that amazes the principalities and powers. So they've got no concept of this. They want to get you, it's a bit like a house. If you've got a house and you've got a window open in your house, it could be a place for a burglar to get in. The Bible calls it like a topos, a foothold. Do not give a foothold to the enemy. Your unforgiveness, my lack of repentance, my pride can all be footholds for the enemy. Sometimes that you feel a bit confused, you feel a bit of something I hadn't done, and I felt a little bit and as soon as I did it, I could understand properly, I could see differently, and it comes in. So we could be aware of the hidden realm where angels and demons are watching. But praise God for angels. I've never seen an angel. I've never seen an angel. But it doesn't mean that they don't exist. And I want to encourage you, if you believe in God, believe in angels and demons, and believe they're very real, and believe they're sent, but they're not all-knowing. Demons are not all-knowing, but they will want to get a foothold. So a purpose is displayed. And finally, a prayer for empowerment. Sorry, time is gone. Paul writes, for this reason I bow the knees before the Father. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father. In heaven and on earth is named, that according to the I want you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him with might by the power in the inner man, deceit and lies and sin, you can be. Because Christ is in us. He says, he prays that it will be rooted and grounded. He's got two things here. Rooted is looking at gardening. And then he's grounded, he's looking at building. Have to go. The taller the building is built, the stronger the foundations are grounded. And Paul says that you are rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. So your starting point is that you are grounded in love. Your foundation is one of love. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes, including you and I, in him, should not perish, but live forever with God. We're going to heaven, friends. We're going to live with Jesus forever. We're not going to hell. We're rooted and grounded in love. And he prayed that we would know the love of Christ, to know the gnosis, the new, not just facts, but the knowledge of the Spirit, that Christ loves us. Imagine a church that is built on love and knows they're loved. How do you think we will operate? In love. In love. In love. And he then goes on to say that we're filled with the fullness of God. Filled with the fullness of God. See, a smartphone, I've said before, is very powerful. Very, very powerful. But if it's got no battery, useless. We're the church. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, and without the growing knowledge of who we are in Christ, we won't operate to our full potential. I loved it when I went to with Seth to Ghana, and you'd say some stuff like, you know, people say, well, I've got Christ in me. And Seth would say, well, good luck. We're in a very real spiritual battle. And not everything's going to leave. Because we've got to know our authority in Christ, and we're going to be led by the Spirit of Christ, because we're in a powerful battle. Powerful battle. And some things won't just shift because you say something, because they might have a legal right. So we need to rise up and understanding and sense, God, help me to know the power at work in me. May I today be filled with the fullness of God by His Holy Spirit. So just in conclusion, Paul is talking about we are the church. The church is not a second thought, an afterthought. It is the thought of God. It is the way He displays the grace of God to the principalities and powers. It's a plan revealed. You and I are a people chosen, individually and corporately. We were purpose displayed. And He gave a powerful prayer for that you and I be empowered. Let's just stand to our feet in the presence of God.